Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. Today is the Wednesday episode, and I am blessed enough to have Deborah Jackson on with me on this bright and early Wednesday morning, and it's chilly where we are sitting. She's in Boulder, Colorado. I'm in Aspen, and it's raining cats and dogs and being miserable. So we're going to try to make the sun shine on Women of Wisdom, if that makes sense. And we're going to share Deborah's story and what she does, which leads me to my first question, is how did you start all this and why?
Oh, well, first let me say good morning, and we'll bring some sunshine to the call just with our wonderful, charming, radiant personalities.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
So thank you for listening, and thank you for having me as your guest. How did this all happen? I started my business, which is called The Right Direction, and that's spelled W-R-I-T-E, because I started it as a direct response copywriter back in 1989. And actually, at that point in time, I wasn't looking to start my own business. I was actually looking for what we call a J-O-B. However, Colorado, I don't know if you were here in the late 80s when, but Colorado was in a recession in 1988. And everywhere I went looking for a job, people said to me, "We're not hiring. We're laying people off. We like you, Deborah, but sorry." However, they also said, "Deborah, if you were to freelance, then we could use your services." So I'd always wanted my own business, but I never really knew what that business was going to be. And when I heard that, a light bulb just went off in my head, and it was, okay, I guess I'm going to start my business as a freelance direct response copywriter. So on January 1st of 1989, that's what I did.
Wow. Wow. And I learned something new every day. I didn't realize that our state at the time was going through a depression and everyone was being laid off. And so that being said, do you work with companies on copywriting, or do you do editing, or what is your primary focus?
Well, my primary focus for the last 25 years has been copywriting. So I write brochures and direct mail pieces. That's how I started. And then, of course, in the 90s, we had the internet come along. So now I also write the content of websites. I'm not an editor. However, I do have people call me and say, "Deborah, I wrote something and I'd like you to take a look at it. Would you give me your feedback?" And I do, but I really do not market myself as an editor. I'm a copywriter, and these days, even more so than copywriting, what I'm doing is professional speaking. And so I'm going out and speaking to other people to empower them and help them with not just copywriting, but with marketing. As you might know, I just wrote a book called Millionaire Marketing on a Shoestring Budget, and that book came out of a presentation that I've been doing probably, I can't tell you how many years. It started right after 9/11, because after 9/11, a lot of people started cutting back on their marketing. A lot of people were frightened. And so in guiding my clients, what I did was give them ideas for cost-effective ways to market themselves. Because even when the economy is down, you still need to keep your message out there. You still need to get exposure and keep that top-of-mind awareness.
I agree. I have a story to interject here. For those of you who haven't seen my website, it's a little bit of a mess right now because my previous website designer, I said to her, I asking a little bit of her business management skills are not that good. And so I said to her, look, I'm not paying you for the I'm paying you for the bookmark, Dean, but I'm not paying you for the website. And, you know, the next day, she took the website down, and it's like, hello? You can't do that. You, yeah, you can't, anyway, I'm getting it all straight, but it's like, you can't do that, which leads me to my next question. When people say to other people, your copywriting on your website is terrible, what is your response as a copywriter?
Oh, well, you mean if someone says that to me or if someone calls me and tells me that someone is saying that their content is poor?
Both.
You know, knock on wood, fortunately no one has told me that my copy is terrible, but when someone calls me and they're concerned about their own content, the first thing I do is look at what they have and see, you know, I offer people a copywriting critique. It is a fee-based service. It's not complimentary, but I take a look at what is on their site and ask them, you know, what do you think is terrible about it? You know, what do you like or what don't you like? And then sometimes when I go there, there are some very obvious things, like maybe in some cases when you go to someone's website, they're talking about we do this and we do this, and it's all about them. And really,
yeah,
the content should be all about you, you being the prospect, you being the customer. And so when someone says, you know, my content's terrible, I'm looking to see, well, what is it that you think is terrible about it? And that sometimes is one of those things, because then it doesn't resonate with the readers.
No.
So you probably know, you only have a few seconds. You know, you only have a few seconds to capture their attention.
Yeah. It should resonate with the readers, and that's what that's my new website designer, who is a New York Times bestselling author, but before she got into publishing, she did website design long before the age of the internet, and so I'm really excited to see what she comes up with, because she's been in the book industry long before the age of the internet, and people laugh at me all the time because I say I only got the internet in 1997, and so they think, oh, when has the internet, when has all these technological skills, and I'm like, no, I don't. No, I don't. We only got the internet in 1997. We had AOL at the time, which that makes people laugh that I'm part of the AOL generation. And when you say that, looking at websites back in the day as compared to now, are they the same thing? Is copywriting the same thing, or is copywriting different because of the technology we use?
Well, I think the basic principles of copywriting are still the same. You know, whether you're writing for a website or you're writing a brochure for a print, you know, brochure, your concern is still your reader, and you still need to, one, find out what their problems are or the challenges are that they face. And then, two, write content that what I call pushes their buttons so that they resonate with you and they go, yes, Wynn understands me. She understands where I'm coming from. She understands the challenges I face. And then, three, you offer them a solution to that problem. So that's still important, whether it's the internet today or the internet back then. Also, when you talk about web content, when I first started writing web content, it was fairly simple to write content and then get people's websites in the top 10 of Google. As you know, that's changed quite a bit. Google changes their algorithms all the time. So just writing good content doesn't get you in the top 10, but it's still very important that you have keyword phrases and make your web content relevant for Google. Now, that's not stuffing keyword phrases. It's really having them in certain locations on your content. And then, of course, there are other elements that bring your website to the top ratings. So, you know, when we talk about web design, I'm not a designer. I'm the writer. So the words and the design have to work together to make it appealing to whoever visits your site.
Well, yes, the words and design. I have had my challenges with my website designer who says she's a copywriter. I don't think she is, but we'll see. We'll see if a website designer who's now a book publisher can do the trick. And what would you say are the most important topics that people have within their copy on their website?
The most important topics that they have depends on what they're marketing. So people want to know how you can help them. They want to know the benefits or the results of what it is you're offering. So if you're offering a service, what is it your service is going to do that's going to help make their lives easier, that's going to solve their problems? You know, people want to either avoid losing something they already have, or they want to gain something they don't have. So people want to save time or save money, or they want to avoid losing money. So those are the things that you need to keep in mind, is what is it your audience is looking for? What are the issues that they're facing on a daily basis that you have a solution for? And in through all that, you know, we've been talking about, it's important to talk about you being the prospect. And there is a place like your About page where people want to know who you are, because they just want to know that you're a credible, viable entity. So it's also important to have that social proof. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the phrase. I call it the KLT factor, which is the know, like, and trust factor. People want to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. And so if they're at your website, having a video can help that. Having testimonials can help build that. You know, that's the way you build some authority, and people get to know, like, and trust you until they pick up the phone and talk with you. You know, there's varied levels.
Yeah.
Most people don't want to make a purchase until they know something about you and know that you have some credibility with them.
And, yes, I understand now that now in the days of the Internet, people will become very mistrustful of other people, including myself. I mean, they look at the website and they look at your Facebook status and they comment with a fine-tooth comb to figure out what you want and what they want.
Well, and they're probably also looking at who you associate with as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know that there are many people that will, you know, since you mentioned Facebook, people who will come and, you know, friend request me, and I don't know them, but when I look at who they are, we have 20 mutual friends in common, you know, and they might be people I've met at a business event. So that, to me, right there establishes a little bit of credibility because I go, okay, well, they know Wynn and they know Bob and they know Mary, and those are people I do know and that I do like and I do trust. So, you know, this might be a person I want to connect with. Same on LinkedIn, you know, people who send invitations on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is one of the topics that I speak about because a lot of people out there are totally confused about LinkedIn and how to create a robust profile. A lot of people go on LinkedIn and just put their name and their job and don't realize that that's really not sharing a piece of who they are and how they help people. And a lot of people will go to LinkedIn to build some of that trust, you know, and that likableness because they want to see something more about you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. People don't understand LinkedIn aspects. They don't understand the likability aspects either. And now with every Tom and Dick and Harry saying now website designer and copy or a copy editor, it makes it hard to have the likability. And
well, that's why, you know, that's why you go through that. You know, when I do some speaking and I talk about that know, like, and trust factor, I give the example of, let's say your dentist leaves town or retires and you need a new dentist. Chances are you don't go to Google and look for a dentist. Chances are you'll go to a friend or to a family member and say, who do you use as your dentist? Because
yeah.
that's one level of the know, like, and trust. Because if
yeah.
they go to that person, then you go, okay, well, they like Dr. Joe. Maybe I should try Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
You know, and then you might go try Dr. Joe. And if you know, like, and, you know, if you get to know and like him over time, then you trust him as well, and he might become your doctor.
Yeah.
Same thing with the people who do business with you. Most likely they do business with you because they know, like, and trust you.
Don't necessarily automatically go jump on Google to find a website designer. Use a website designer that you trust and use a book marketer that you trust. The same thing with a copy editor. Use someone who has good references and who is reliable and who is and can deliver the product. The same thing.
Yes, and even, you know, like those three examples you just gave of a copywriter and a designer and a web developer, chances are if you're looking for one, you might go search online, but then you'll say, you know what, let me call somebody I know and ask them who they used.
Yeah.
You know, and did they like that person? I know I give out the names of one or two web designers quite often. Because people will contact me and say, you know, I need a website. And I'm like, well, who's designing it for you? I can help you write it, but who's designing it?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, of course, you have the good old telephone. Some people forget about phones these days. But you can talk to people,
oh,
you know.
Yes. Oh, yes, you do.
And you do,
oh, yes,
you know, you
do.
Can get a sense on the phone whether you're connecting or not with that person. You know, I just had a call a week or so ago where I was talking with somebody. They were interested in, you know, what I did, and I didn't really feel that connection with them. You know, it felt like there was some resistance. And initially it was like, I have to convince them that I'm the person for them. And then I went, you know what? I don't feel like I'm the person for them. So best for me to give them another resource if I have one and refer them to someone else. And go on my merry way, and we'll both be happier.
I like the phone, personally. I don't like Facebook, and I don't like LinkedIn, personally, for building, knowing people and liking people and trusting people. And so what would you say to people if they wanted to call you and wanted to understand what you do, and would you give them the 20 questions, so to speak, or would you give them 5 questions and figure out whether you're a match or not?
Well, I don't, you know, but it's not like I give them an assignment. If somebody calls and says, you know, they're interested in, they're looking for a copywriter, you know, I do have a questionnaire I send people that helps them get gather their ideas. But in terms of finding out if we're a match at all, really talking on the phone and finding out what is it you need, you know, what is it you're trying to achieve, what are your goals, if let's say if it is a website that they want to write, you know, what's the purpose of the website? For example, I have someone I'm working with right now. She's not really all that concerned about having a SEO, which is search engine optimization website, because she feels like she's going to use her site to refer people to it. So when she does a presentation, she's going to tell people to go to her website. because she wants people to have a connection with her first and then read more about her online. So then when the phone call comes, you know, it just is a natural flow, you know, finding out like you would at a networking event. Who are you? What do you do? You know, who do you serve? What are you interested in? What do you like? You know, what's important to you? What are the values? Values are really important when it comes to know, like, and trust. You know, if you're dealing with clients who have the same values as you, chances are you'll get along really well.
Yeah.
If you find someone who doesn't value honesty and integrity, you're probably not going to hit it off. Or if you find someone who doesn't value and respect, you know, your time, you know, those kinds of things. So making sure you have values that are in common, I think, will also make for a long-lasting and committed relationship where you work as a team. You know, it's a collaboration.
Team effort here. Team effort.
Yes.
It's not a one-way street, you guys. It's a team effort here. And I'm sorry that I say that, but it's definitely a team effort. And I agree with Deborah when she says no, like, and trust. Don't automatically jump on Google, and I need to quit doing that myself, and don't automatically jump on Facebook to find a website designer. Use someone who knows that website designer. Use that website designer's resources, or use that copywriter's resources if you need it. And if you're not going to get along with me or Deborah, that's fine. We'll refer you to people that we know, like, and trust. But we're not forcing ourselves on you. And that is my last question. When people say, I really want to work with you, but you don't get along with them, what do you say to them?
Well, that's a good question. You know, if I really feel that resistance, I would just be honest, you know, and say I'm not sure that we're a match, and try to give them a good reason why, you know, and not have the reason be I don't like you, but be, you know, maybe it's I'm not really understanding the scope of what you need to convey, and I feel like I'm not the right person for you, but I can tell you someone who might be. So, you know, again, I'll knock on wood and say I'm fortunate that most everyone I've ever worked with has been someone that I get along famously with. I say almost everyone, because over 26 years, there have been maybe two or three people, you know, that we had a disagreement, and so we had to part ways. You know, I believe when I write content, I explain, you know, and justify why I wrote it a certain way or why I said what I said. If the client doesn't like that, that's okay. We can rewrite it. Or if the client says, you know, I want it done this way and I don't really agree with the way that they want to do it, again, I'll give them my reasoning and my justification for not agreeing with them. But if they want to go on and do it that way, that's their choice. But I always feel it's important to have communication. Communication is, you know, just vital to having a good team and a good working relationship, because your goals are the same. You both want an outcome that's going to be successful. So, you know, work together to get there. And if you can't, then it's best to say, okay, let's part ways and go, you know, let me see if I can refer you to somebody else who can help you, and, you know, wish you well and go your separate ways.
Well, I appreciate the time this morning, and I want you to tell my listeners how they could find you.
They can find me a number of ways. My speaking website, if they're looking for a dynamic speaker, that's DeborahJason.com. So it's DeborahJason.com. My writing website for my writing business is writedirection.com, and that's WRITE, like writing with a pen. So that's writedirection.com. And if they'd like my book, Millionaire Marketing on a Shoestring Budget, they can get an autographed copy if they go to millionairemarketingonashoestringbudget.com. But the book is also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Well, you're a woman with a million hats. And I, as I said, I appreciate the time, and I hope you enjoyed this interview.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me as your guest.
Thank you.
Have a fabulous day, and here's to your sweet success, Wen.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.